Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Jay and Stevens Podcast, part of the Off the Ball Network. This is episode 207, dedicated to a man who on June 28th in the year 2000 was the number one overall draft pick in the 2000 NBA draft. Some call him Kmart, but his mama calls him Kenyon Martin. And as always, thank you for listening and downloading another episode of the podcast. On today's episode, we talk a little bit about what Scottie Pippen has been saying lately. Jalen Rose and Jay Williams get a lesson in understanding and realizing going to the race card without fact-checking yourself, it could come back to bite you. And then also, there's also one thing to love about this year's NBA playoffs. But first, the Wolfpack from NC State. They were, to some, the favorite, or some believed that this would be the year. The Wolfpack would win the College World Series for the very first time. Their fan base was excited. Their players were excited. The coaches were excited. The media members were excited about the way that the NC State Wolfpack was playing the baseball. And then all of a sudden, not sure how this got inside the team, but we know it's something that is invisible. It could be around you for a while and you not know it. There are positive cases that emerged inside the NC State Wolfpack traveling party. And I say traveling party because I'm not just focusing on the players at this point in time. This is everybody in totality that makes up the traveling party of the NC State Wolfpack that traveled to Omaha, Nebraska for this year's College World Series. Positive cases, not one, not two, not three. I believe there were eight positive cases inside the NC State Wolfpack. The NC2A had a press release come out from the Twitter account at about 2:08, 2:10 in the morning on Saturday, the same day that the Wolfpack was scheduled to play a baseball game, and say, your season, unfortunately, is over. And there was an uproar. There was backlash. There was pushback. There were some people supporting the NC2A. But from what I have read and from what I have seen, there were numerous people that opposed the decision put down by the NC2A because to many people, it didn't make any sense at all. I put a poll out on Twitter, which is a Twitter poll, on Sunday morning, and the question goes like this: do you agree with the NC2A decision to remove NC State from the College World Series? From those that voted, 76% of you said no, or the voters said no. 24% of the voters said yes. According to the NCAA, four positive cases on a baseball team, though the numbers are different from the basketball to the football to the baseball, four positive cases on the baseball team is categorized as a breakout. To some, that might not be the way that they see it, but to the NC2A and their medical staff, four positive cases is a breakout. In the midst of this whole story, this did not start over the weekend. There is a timeline on D1Baseball.com that Kendall Rogers put out. He did a phenomenal job putting everything into perspective and into its proper order so people like you and I can go to the D1 Baseball website to check out and see exactly what happened, the chronological order of events. One thing that stood out to me, and I don't have time to go through the entire timeline, but one thing that stood out to me, well, there's a few. There were zero positive cases on June 20th. On June 21st, NC State beat Vanderbilt 1-0. They were 2-0 in the winner's bracket. That same day, the NC State coach came out and said there are a few members of the traveling party that caught a bug. Now, when you hear a bug, many people think cough. Many people think, oh, just a sniffles. That's what people think. But with what has been pushed on the people that has been right in front of our faces via the social media and the news, a lot of people nowadays, when you hear you might think somebody comes out and is coughing and they might have that COVID. Well, later in the week, via testing, and there were testing that was being done on days that weren't normal testing days. There were four positive cases early in the week. Well, before the four positive cases, early in the week, they found a positive case. That player got isolated. Later in the week, there were four positive cases categorized as a breakout. Later in the week, there were four more positive cases. There were players that were unvaccinated that tested positive. There were four players that were vaccinated that also tested positive as well. One interesting detail about the game on Friday that NC State played, they only had 13 players that were eligible to play. There were at least four players. There were numerous players that tested on, I believe, Friday that were unvaccinated and were negative. But the NC2A says since these players are unvaccinated, even though they tested negative, because of what's going on inside of your team, your traveling party, they cannot play. That's a cause to concern. That's very interesting to me. I don't think the NC2A handled this thing correctly, but they haven't handled a lot of things correctly in the way that I see fit based off their protocol. I think they pulled out some new rules in this instance, and that's another reason I don't think that is right. Yes, you go back to the NCAA tournament for the men, VCU Oregon. VCU early on had positive cases, was not able to play. But things get a little dicier. When you get to the College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska, and you're making rules up so players can't play. I understand everybody's a little cautious, but something about this story has always been a little fishy, no matter how far or how deep I get into researching it. Let's go ahead and take a trip to Chicago, Illinois, because in the midst of what's going on with Scottie Pippen, Mr. Pippen mentioned some things that happened in Chicago when he played there. And man, Scottie, I don't know what's going on, but some of this stuff, a lot of this stuff, does not make any sense. Growing up, I loved watching Scottie Pippen play the basketball. No, he wasn't my favorite player. Not at all. Nowhere close would I put him in that category. I mean, 23, the other guy that played on his team, the best player on his team, the best player in the league, Michael Jordan, that was my guy. Why? Because your boy wanted to be like Mike. Didn't happen. Not at all. I didn't have the height. I never got that speed. I never got the jumping ability. I never got the jump shot down. I didn't get all of the things Michael Jordan got. So I had no way to be like Mike. But I liked Mike. I liked Scottie. Those two together, that 1-2 tandem, that duo that they were, man, they were hard to stop. And if you go back and look at those Bulls basketball teams, you can't say anything about those Bulls teams without talking about what Scottie Pippen meant to those teams. I mean, let's go back to the 91 NBA Finals. The 1991 NBA Finals, yes, you can go back and you can look at that final series and say, Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan versus Magic Johnson, no Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I believe that Lakers team had Vlade Divac, just to tell you about who their big man was at that time. And the Bulls were a team that was right on the cusp. They were right on the edge of winning a championship, but they hadn't gotten over that hump or gotten around or through or over that obstacle just yet. Game one, the Lakers win the series. Michael Jordan does what Mike does, guards the best player on the opposite team numerous times. Magic kind of had his way with Mike during that game. Now, Mike was not able to slow down Magic in the way that he would like. 6'9 versus 6'6. The height plus the vision of Magic, Michael Jordan. Yeah, Michael Jordan was hitting the weight room, but he wasn't as strong as he was the next year and even the year after that. Game two, there's a switch. Defensive schematic switch. Scottie Pippen goes on Magic. Michael Jordan guards, I believe, Byron Scott. The rest is history. We all look at that 91 Finals and say, well, Michael Jordan had that layup where he switched hands in the air. Yes, Mike had that, but that 91 Finals, that was as big a part, excuse me, Scottie Pippen was as big a part of that Finals win as anybody else on the team, if not bigger. Of course, he's not bigger than Mike, but Phil Jackson, the mastermind, the Zen Master, made a phenomenal switch schematically to help the Bulls win that NBA Finals championship, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, we all saw what happened there. Scottie was the best player on the team. The team got in the playoffs both years. but no finals trips, and we even saw some flops or fumbles from Scottie Pippen, 94, 96, 97, 98. Let me get my years correct. Bam, bam, bam. Mike comes back in 1, 2, 3 more NBA Finals wins. And then Scottie says, well, Mike's gone from the Bulls, and let me go to Houston. Quote-unquote super team. If you want to look back at that, some will call that a super team. Hakeem Olajuwon was on that team. I want to say Clyde Drexler and Charles Barkley. I know Charles was on that team. I don't know if Clyde was still playing in the NBA or not. I want to say Clyde was gone, but I know for sure it was Charles Barkley. I want to say Hakeem was still there and Scottie Pippen. No, they didn't do it. And then Pippen goes to Portland. Kobe and the Lakers. They did what they did. Kobe and Shaq got their first ring together. Well, first ring of their careers. I'll say together. First together and first ring of their careers. So Scottie Pippen, a player. Everyone's hearing what he's saying now and forgetting what Scottie, well, some are forgetting what Scottie did in the NBA, both good and bad. I think at times Scottie Pippen is talking and he's promoting a book. He has a book coming out in the fall, and you know how it is. When you're trying to promote something, when you're trying to push something, you're going to do things. You're going to be very, very vocal, maybe on the social media if you're my age or if you're like someone like Scottie Pippen, who is able to go around on all of these television shows, radio shows, podcasts, be interviewed by GQ, you're going to be able to have a platform that not everybody is able to have. So you get what Scottie Pippen is doing right now, going around to numerous shows. On Monday morning, he was on the Dan Patrick Show. For some reason, my schedule was not aligning me up to listen to that interview. So here we are. I did not want to talk about or touch on things that I did not hear or did not read. But Scottie Pippen, keep in mind in all this, I'm going to go in deeper a little bit about what he said between him and Kevin Durant, not really going into the Dan Patrick thing. Like I said, your boy didn't hear it. Not going to talk about it. But before we get to the Kevin Durant thing that Scottie Pippen and KD had a little back and forth there. Well, Scottie said something in the interview with GQ and KD clapped back in a way that only KD can. A few months ago, Scottie Pippen's oldest son, who is 33 years old, the same age I am. I just had a birthday, so I am 33. So maybe this is hitting me different than maybe a lot of people. A lot of people may have forgot about this. Scottie Pippen's son recently passed away back in April. And I remember when it came out, I think it was via Instagram, somebody posted something, and then the sports world kind of was aware about what's going on or what happened there was in Scottie Pippen's life with his oldest son. If you've ever lost a loved one, if you're a parent that has lost a child, you know the first few months, 6 months, maybe 12 months, maybe a few years, they're very, very hard for you. Maybe years might be a stretch, but there's always going to be times that maybe you watch a television show. We watched that together. Maybe you go to a restaurant. This was his or her favorite restaurant. Maybe you go to a store and you see some shoes that he liked to buy. Reminds you of somebody. He or she reminds you of that person that you lost. And there may be times, especially in the first few months following a tragic death, especially somebody that you're extremely close to or your son, there may be times that you end up saying things, that you may act off the wall, that you may act out of character, and it all goes back to how you're responding or reacting to the loss of a loved one. So Scottie Pippen, many people keep saying, what's going on with Scottie? Scottie's crazy. Scottie is delusional. I was watching a clip, No Chill Gill with Gilbert Arenas, and I forget who was on that panel with him at that time. But the title was Old Heads Are Delusional. And I don't believe that he really mentioned Scottie. Sorry, Siri. I don't believe that Gilbert Arenas mentioned Scottie Pippen there on the show. But he did talk about old heads. And Scottie Pippen is known at times for speaking off the wall. Maybe not like this. Maybe not like he is right now. But he is known for at times speaking a little off the wall and being old head-ish. I mean, he's old head. I mean, old heads are going to believe things about themselves and the time they played the basketball because they are an old head. So keep in mind, I'm going to go through a little bit what KD said responding to Scottie Pippen. But keep in mind, Scottie Pippen lost his son. And in the following months after a tragic death, especially somebody that you brought into this world, yeah, there might be times that you might be trying to promote something, and at the same time, you're acting way out of character. In this GQ interview, I'm only going to pull a quote from the interview from what Scottie Pippen said. At the same time, I'll reply word for word, two different quotes. Pippen's quote, KD's quote. Here's what Scottie Pippen had to say, and he mentioned KD in this quote. Here we go. Quote, KD can score better than LeBron. Probably always have been able to. But has he surpassed LeBron? Nah. KD ain't LeBron. KD is a shooter, a scorer, but he doesn't have what LeBron has. End quote. There are things about LeBron's game. There are things about KD's game that make them very unique, that make them the players that they are. LeBron, KD. If you're playing the 2K, which player would you rather play with? Some will say LeBron, but I've started playing the 2K lately. As good as LeBron is, sometimes in 2K, you just need a bucket. And if I just need a bucket, I'm not going to LeBron. I'm going to KD. I don't know why Scottie Pippen decided to go at KD in this way and respond to KD in this way. I don't know that. There were some things I read, didn't hear, but I read about Scottie Pippen in the Dan Patrick interview. I don't know why Scottie Pippen said that Phil Jackson was racist. I don't know. I don't know all of that. I don't know all the ins and outs of that interview to say what the beginning question was, what the lead up was, the build up to that question, the follow up question, all of that stuff. I don't know. I find it very, very weird what Scottie Pippen is saying right now. But remember, when you lose a loved one, sometimes you act a little out of character. So KD, as you know, KD heard what or read what Scottie Pippen said, and here's how KD clapped back. Quote, didn't the great Scottie Pippen refuse to go in the game for the last second shot because he was in his feelings? His coach drew up the play for a better shooter, end quote. Tony Kukoc is a man that KD is talking about. Let me just tell you. Oh, Kukoc was a dog. Well, Kukoc was that dude. Kukoc was amazing. Kukoc was a guy back then. If you were back there, I believe, was it Croatia was where he was from? And in the 92 Barcelona Olympics, the first time the NBA or America sent pros to represent the country in the basketball games, Pippen and Jordan took it upon themselves to relay a message to Tony Kukoc that, hey, you're good. But what we bring to the table, what we bring to Chicago, you might be our future teammate, but you got to step up your game if you want to come to the NBA and kill like you are in Croatia. KD clawed back. We expect these things from KD. We expect Kevin Durant to be somebody that if you're going to say something about him, he might go to one of his numerous burner accounts, or he might be somebody that goes to his own personal verified Twitter account to clap back at something that was said. And that's exactly what KD did here. KD saw, or maybe KD heard, somebody read to Kevin Durant what Scottie Pippen said. And Scottie Pippen has his right. He has the right to announce or to say his opinion. At the same time, KD, the way that he clapped back, hey, I love it. Because sometimes we do forget exactly what happened during our careers or what happened in our lives. And maybe at that time, Scottie Pippen had forgot, or maybe he had selective memory and Scottie Pippen wanted to just not bring up what happened to him during the 90s when he was playing the basketball. Because we saw it in The Last Dance. We saw what happened. We have seen what happened. Maybe you go back and watch the YouTube videos to refresh your memory. Maybe you are alive to watch that game live. And remember Scottie's reaction. Kukoc, Phil Jackson. The reaction after the play was over at the end of the game. KD clapped back. And I'm glad he did. Because I think sometimes the reality check is what people need. I think Pippen needed it at this time as well to say, hey man, look, you're going to attack people. People might attack you. You better be careful because what you say will come back at you a whole lot harsher than you dished it out. I'm curious how Phil Jackson will respond to what what Scottie Pippen said, because boy, oh boy, if I know Phil, there might be a chance that Phil might pop up out of the blue and say, Scotty, hold on. Do you really want to go down this road? Because I can bring up some things that happened during your career that you did that you don't want people to remember. Oh, the race card. Yeah, buddy, it's been around for a while. Unfortunately, people are not going to get rid of going to race as soon as they hear news. And it's infiltrated. This thought process has once again infiltrated sports. Not just with one analyst, but two. This time, they happen to both work for the worldwide leader. Jalen Rose recently heard the news when Team USA was announced. When he heard that Kevin Love was on Team USA, he made the comment and it came out of his mouth, America is scared to send an all-black team to the Olympics, and that couldn't be any further from the truth. Jalen Rose, very intelligent, very smart, very good broadcaster as well. When you work for the worldwide leader, really a lot of these different networks, you have a researcher. You have somebody that can sift you and do the research for you, so it makes your job a whole lot easier. Yes, it is kind of an unwritten thing or something that is expected of you to watch the basketball games or the football games or whatever sports you're broadcasting or talking about or being an analyst about or commentating about. They expect you to watch the games. Why? Because you're talking about them on TV or on radio or in a podcast. And, well, if you're going to do something and talk about something, you might want to know what you're talking about. Jalen Rose is a very good guy, very good broadcaster. So I get it, Jalen. You have an idea. You have this idea about America. You think that race is a problem. There are times race is a problem. But right now, in this point in time, going to the race card was not wise. Why was it not wise? Well, let's go back to the 2016 Olympic team, the most recent Olympic team. That was an all-black team that America sent. 2012, Kevin Love was also on that team, so that was not all black. 2008 was another time America has sent an all black team to the Olympics. Let's go back to the beginning, the very first time that America sent pros to the Olympics. Were there all black teams sent? And if there were not, did it make sense for them to not send an all-black team to the Olympics to represent the country in the basketball? 92, the Dream Team. There were two white players coming off the top of the dome. Chris Mullin, Hall of Famer. Also Christian Laettner, the best basketball player in college basketball that year. Some say one of the best college basketball players of all time. Myself, I go the Luol Cinder route, but some people that are newer age, that are younger, I'm pretty young, but I still know what Luol Cinder did out there at UCLA under the instruction of John Wooden, one of, if not the best college basketball coach of all time. Many people say Christian Laettner got it, but it should have gone to Shaq. Go back and watch college basketball. What did Shaq do at LSU? What did Christian Laettner do at Duke? That's it. There's a reason why. There's a 30 for 30 documented, I hate Christian titled. Not documented, titled, I hate Christian Laettner. He was a dog on the court. And his opponents, those guys that played against him at Duke, would say the same thing. Dream Team 2, the 96 Dream Team. And I recently watched it was an interview. It was the Knuckleheads, Quentin Richardson, and Darius Miles. I keep forgetting names. And they interviewed Larry Johnson, Grandma Maud. He made a comment. They asked him, "Would you guys meet the Dream Team? Beat the Dream Team?" He said, yeah, "Well, I ain't gonna say what he said here on air because he said F them." I'm not gonna say the word, but you get that. That was his thought when he ended up saying they asked him what he thought about the first Dream Team. John Stockton was on Dream Team 2, and I think John Stockton, this is a great time to pause and make a comment about how good and how underrated John Stockton is to many people. John Stockton, to me, first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best point guards of all time. You can go to your list, and you might have John Stockton in your top 5. You're definitely going to have him in your top 10, and you're going to realize by watching the basketball and by talking to his peers and those that played against him that John Stockton is a player that deserves more credit and more attention for what he did in Utah there in Salt Lake City. Jalen Rose, not always wise to go to the race card. And if you do, make sure you fact check yourself to make sure that your comment and your analysis is on point. Jay Williams, once again, somebody else, Jalen Rose, a J name, Jay Williams, a J name, formerly known as Jason, but he did change his name to Jay, the same spelling as me, but I was called Jay before Jay Williams was. Jay Williams recently heard about the hiring of Ime Udoka, the new head coach for the Boston Celtics, and he was happy that the Celtics hired a coach of color. And I get it. I love it. I'm a person that if you're a first in 2021, I understand it. I understand the history of the country. And I understand you're going to get a lot of first for women, a lot of first for men, of any color, a lot of first for black people right now because of the history and what has taken place in this country. I'm not somebody that says, no, this should not be the first time this is happening. Think about what happened from the slavery time to into slavery to the abolish the Emancipation Proclamation to the 13th Amendment, December 18th of 1865. I get all of that stuff. I completely understand it. And I understand the civil rights era, civil rights movement, 50s and 60s, and what that happened with Dr. Martin Luther King. I understand there are going to be a lot of firsts that take place here very, very soon. So I'm not a person that's going to sit here and say there would not be first in America. And if there are, I won't be upset about it. Just be happy we're having first in this country. Well, Jay Williams went the first route, first coach of color for the Celtics. And I'm scratching my head right now because Jay Williams is smart. Went to Duke. You gotta be smart to get into Duke, even though if you're a basketball player, there are standards that the university has. Think back a few months ago, they recently just announced that Bill Russell was going to be inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame for a coach. He's already in there for being a player, but for a coach as well. Bill Russell was a player coach from 66 to 69, a 162 and 83 overall winning record in the regular season. Yeah, player coach. Imagine a player coach today. He will say LeBron is a player coach. LeBron could not handle being a player coach right now. Why? Because there's a lot more that goes into it right now than there was back in the day when Bill Russell took over the team in the 1966-67 season. But that's not the only coach the only black coach that Boston has had. They've also had Tom Sanders in 78, Casey Jones in 83 to 88. I believe he had two rings of his own. M.L. Carter, 95 to 97, a really, really bad 48 and 116 overall regular season record. Tom Sanders, overall record 23 and 39. That's bad as well. Casey Jones, 308 and 102 in the regular season. Casey Jones also won 102 games in the postseason as well. And then Doc Rivers, 2004 to 2013, won a championship in 2008, 416 and 305 regular season winning record. That's a lot. That's a mouthful. It's that way because that's what we should think about when it comes to the Celtics having black head coaches. Honestly, there are two names when it comes to being black head coaches for the Celtics that come to my mind. Before even thinking about Ime Udoka and what he might do, I think about the history of the Celtics. I don't think about white coaches. Yes, Rick Pitino and Jim O'Brien were coaches there, but when I think about coaches in Boston, first one, when I think about good, really good coaches, there in Boston, Casey Jones. And then I would think about Doc Rivers. Honestly, there were times I forget that Bill Russell was a player coach there for the Celtics. Guys, going to the race card isn't always the wisest thing to do. Pump the brakes going there first. Let's realize, fact check stuff. Oh, by the way, we live in a society. This just popped into my mind. I used to work with a guy. Played football, college football. Not saying where. It's irrelevant information right now. But he made a comment about how he does not wait for the facts to come out before formulating an opinion or a thought about what he hears or what he reads. I find that very, very unintelligent, not smart, really dumb at times. And I do believe that that's what's going on in our country way too many times. Jalen Rose, Jay Williams, it's a lesson not just for them, but also for all of us. Think before we tweet, think before we talk, and if we need to, use the Google because Google is our best friend. You know what else has been my best friend lately? The NBA playoffs. not the best friend where I am devoting all of my time. I've devoted a lot more time to watching the basketball than I did during the regular season. I documented it here on this podcast. There were times, 145 to 140, that type of basketball. Your boy's not here to watch it. Not at all. So, I'm very, very happy that the NBA playoffs have been this way. And the unpredictability of this year's NBA playoffs, man, I love it. I love every second of it. I love, you're not sure if the Suns are going to win, if the Clippers are going to win. I mean, the DeAndre Ayton, the alley-oop with 0.9 seconds left. Yes, 0.9 seconds left. That DeAndre Ayton alley-oop from the out-of-bounds, from the inbounds, from the in-line. And that was what the Suns needed. Monty Williams had enough time, just enough time to drop a play. Alley-oop, game over. Clippers are going back and scratching their heads saying, wow, we should have won that. How are we going to win this without Kawhi? You're not going to. But it's still very, very drama. It's great drama. It's great television. Well, no, I would say great. It's good drama, good television. Sometimes some sloppy play. The refs, not so much. But the unpredictability of this year's NBA playoffs, I love it. And it sounds like a lot of you do too, because the NBA ratings have been saying exactly what I like about the playoffs, that you do too. I think it's not a knock to any of these players. Before I get to the statement, I got to say it, because some people will be saying, you don't like them. That's not what I'm saying. One thing I've noticed about this year's playoffs, without having LeBron, without having Steph, it's opened up the field wide open. Last year, we had David Shepard from CBS Sports Radio on the podcast. He made a comment, I think it was around playoff time. He said, one team has LeBron, the other team does not. And that has been something you could say about teams for probably 10 years now. One team has LeBron, the other team does not. Well, when LeBron is not playing and Steph is not playing and KD, who didn't really play much this year, is playing in Brooklyn, but Kyrie gets hurt, James Harden gets hurt, the unpredictability of these playoffs is something that I've enjoyed, and I think it's something that fans, media members too, would love to see for or in the foreseeable future. Assuming that LeBron and Steph come back next year. Well, Steph's not hurt. LeBron, not hurt, but we see the LeBron and the Lakers. We saw what they have done. Assuming that the Lakers are good and the Warriors are good. The Warriors do get Klay Thompson back. Assuming everything, that they're going to be better teams in the upcoming season, I still don't think they're clear-cut favorites like they have been to win the NBA championship. I think that's what the NBA has needed. I'm being serious. I seriously think the NBA has needed what has gone on right now, because it opens everyone's eyes up and says, wow, we see what's been on display in the regular season, the All-Star game. We know what Luka can do. We have seen Kawhi. But the amount of the youth, the amount of young talent that's in the NBA that is performing at a high level, that is opening up and saying, hey, yes, this stage is not too big for X, Y, or Z. And let's just introduce you to so many other people. Will this be looked at like the 2011 Mavericks winning that championship? Or will this be looked like the 04 Pistons winning that championship? Or will this be looked like the 94 and 95 Rockets winning that championship? I don't know. But what that 94 and 95 season did open the league's eyes up to the other players around the NBA. What that 2011 team did, it opened up the league's eyes about the players that are on that Mavericks team and how good they played together. The 04 Pistons, what we saw was them play phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal team defense, and that's how we remember them. Will this be just one of just those odd years where the unpredictability of the playoffs is something that we don't see next year, or will we see it once again? I hope we do, and I hope we see it very, very soon. Guys, thank you so much for listening and downloading another episode of the Jay Stevens Podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, what you listened to during this episode, please head to Apple Podcast, leave a 5-star rating and a comment. It's greatly appreciated. It's a great way to help the show grow. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. You can also send all of your emails to jstevenspod@gmail.com. This has been episode 207 of the Jay Stevens Podcast. I will see y'all next time.